evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2, Tango, Tango, Tango. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. The net meets weekly on 146.955, the 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. And all amateur radio operators licensed to operate the 2-meter band are welcome to participate. You need not be a club member to join us. In fact, we'd love to have you, whether or not you're a new ham, an experienced ham, a ham of dubious distinction, as long as you're of good honor and cheer, you're welcome to join us. The purpose of the TechNet is to discuss things about amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, computing, and anything else that comes to mind. Alrighty, so the way this net operates is that we take check-ins on a variety of call signs in something resembling a logical order. Now, I have a little problem for some reason. While also mobile, I'm having a problem with my computer. It doesn't want to. It has frozen for some reason. So I was wondering, is there a station who can take the list? I can probably remember who has questions, who has comments, but if someone could take the list, I would appreciate it. Please call KT Bravo Alpha Romeo.
KT DSL David, I'll do it.
David, thank you, sir. Much obliged. Alrighty, with that happiness out of the way, let's start with Kilos, K2DSL. Do you have any questions or comments for the net tonight? Please call.
K2BAR, K2DSL, nothing at this time.
Thank you, David. All right, any other Kilos?
Hello, Alpha Mike India, Tony.
Hey, Tony, I got it to you, K2MI. However, what we don't, you're a little off frequency, and we don't know whether you have a question or a comment.
Is this better? Am I on frequency now?
Yes, sir, you're Q5.
No questions, no comments, just listening.
All right, Tony, very good. Any other Kilos?
Kilo 2, Zulu, Charlie, no questions, no comments.
Okay, David, good evening to you. Nice to hear you, Dave. Alrighty, any other Kilos?
Stuart, KC2SQP, no comments, no questions, just listening.
Okay, Stuart, good evening. Any other Kilos?
Kilo Alpha 2, Foxtrot Bravo Lima, Mike, no comments, no questions.
Good evening, Michael. Alrighty, let's see. I think we have a Kilo here, let me see.
Good evening, James, KC2SQV, no comment, no questions, just riding mobile for the next 15 minutes till I get the Deborah S. ambulance. Good evening, all.
If you notice the similarity in the audio, that would be my number one son. Alrighty, and welcome aboard, James. Any other Kilos? Okay, pardon me. Any whiskey stations?
W2JEK, done. No questions.
But you have announcements, right?
No, just about the next test session. That would be all. We'll do that later.
Get that to that. And looks like we're going to have a viable class, by the way, Don, on the 9th of April. I know this because I was at the CERT class, and four people came running up to me saying, what's the information about the test, the course? So we'll be doing that. Anyway, we'll get to that. All right, any other whiskey stations?
WE2R, Charlie, with a question.
Good evening, Charlie. Do you have a question or a comment for the net?
Yes, I have a question.
Awesome! We love questions. All right, we'll get to you in a moment. Any other whiskeys? Okay, November.
This is NS2K, Jim. No questions at this point.
Hi, Jim. All right,
very good. Any other Novembers? Alrighty. Any Alpha stations? And by the way, I don't want to tell you how long it's been since an Alpha station checked in. Alrighty. Well, we're in good cheer and good order at this point. So, I have some comments, too, on a project I finished today. Well, finished a milestone, which I'll talk about. It's an audio amplifier, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. In the meantime, let's find out what's on Charlie's mind. W-E-2-R, W-E-2-R, K-2-B-A-R.
Okay, Gordon, thanks, and good evening to you on the net. Simple question. I need a handful of capacitors of various values to finish a project that's been hanging around for a few years. I want the parts. And I've exhausted the drawer at Radio Shack, and I've exhausted whatever I my drawer. So, what's a good source for a handful of capacitors of various values? Back to you, Gord. Back to Ness. This is WE2R.
Well, Charlie, are you looking for ceramic capacitors?
A number of them are, yes.
Okay, and, you know, Radio Shack, I don't know if they still do, but they used to sell an assortment. It was kind of like a blob of, you know, like five of these, or four of these, something like that. Would that be something that would appeal to you and meet your needs?
It would if the ones I need were in the blob. I have it in my hand. I now have a bunch of capacitors for other needs, but I don't have the values specified. So I think I have to go to a higher source.
All right. Well, like, what values do you need, Charlie?
Well, do you want me to run through them? I don't want to take up too much time.
You sound like you might be 5 KCL frequency. It doesn't sound like you're on 955 anymore. But, well, you could do that. Or one of the other thoughts is, you know, Mauser or DigiKey has such things that might help you. M-O-U-S-E-R, DigiKey. Anybody else have any other suggestions on good sources for capacitors and such like that?
Well, that's fine, Gordon, what you said. I just wondered if they, you know, handled such small amounts that I'm interested in.
It might be a little pricey, but the real trick with them is to make your order big enough. So, you know, if there's something else that they have, you know, that strikes your fancy, you know, go ahead and buy that too. You know, maybe there's some module or some assembly that kind of strikes your fancy, maybe a package for it or whatever, and you might try that. I mean, that might be something worthwhile.
Question?
Mr. Don.
Charlie, how many capacitors do you need? Let's see, about 12 of various values. It's for an Oak Hills research QRP kit done.
Okay. I've got to say, if you knew the values, I might have some of that in my junk box, because I had one of those packages from Radio Shack, and it might have been the one that had the values you need.
Okay. If I could contact you, maybe I could email you, and that would certainly be a help. I appreciate it.
Why don't we try that first, and then my email is donnan917@aol.com. QSL?
Just give me that one more time quickly, Don.
Delta, Oscar, November, Alpha, November, 917@aol.com.
Okay, great. Thank you. Got it. This is WE2R.
You know, would be if you make a list for Don and he can't fill it, maybe there are several others who can.
Yeah, I missed it.
So you might want to keep that in mind as well. So if you want to send it to me, maybe K2ZO, those would be, I might have some of them, but, you know, I didn't want you to read through 12 values, but to have, you know, why don't you make up a list of everything you're missing, and I'm sure all, among us, we probably have it in our junk boxes.
Okay, well, I will, and I think, this is W84.
Question for Charlie.
K2ETN.
Ahead, Don.
Good evening to K2ETN. This is W2JEK with a question for you, Charlie. Just a quick question. What Oak Hills rig are you building, over?
It's a 20-meter.
Model number, I mean. The model number? The OHR-100 or the 100A?
OHR-100A.
Okay, I have one of those, too. So, okay, they're good radios. Okay, back to net. Thank you. W2JEK.
Alrighty. That's good. That's good. Got that straightened out. That's interesting. People building kits. So, I have a question for Charlie. When did you buy the kit? When did you first start the kit? And when was the last time you touched the kit?
I bought the kit about 5 years ago. I started it then. Then I moved the shack, and in the move, I had all the parts because I checked them off when the kit came. I touched it yesterday. I was missing a couple of transistors, which I got at Radio Shack. So I've been working on it for the last few weeks. So it's sort of a historic project, but it's sort of recent also.
Okay, very good. Charlie, you do sound like you're on frequency. What frequency do you show? That would be my ultimate nightmare.
Well, I did build a kit
called a Pixie Kit from the Night Smite group and the Nightlight QFP group, about the size of a postage stamp, a transceiver, in the service mount bought. I actually made a contact with it.
Alrighty. Well, SQV is no longer on the net. She is now at the ambulance corps. And let's see, alright. So, no surface mount's a good thing, Don. I mean, I don't mind it, but, I mean, they do take some tricks to put on. And there's some really good videos as to on how to do it that are up on YouTube. People might want to try those things out, too. They're really good. Anyway, so let's see. What else do we have in the equation here? Anybody else have anything they want to add to this topic?
KS2ID. I'm not on this topic, but I have a comment.
We'll get your comment, Ben, in a minute. Who is the other station?
2AMI. Am I noisy or what's the problem here?
You're doing fine now.
Just two quick stories, and that is one of the fellows brought a friend of Phil Barber brought a radio to Kit Night about a month back. It was a little kit. It was a single frequency transceiver, and he could not get it working. So Jim Jackson and I worked on it, and Jim discovered what he thought was a defective circuit board in that one of the traces should not have shorted between two points. The gentleman, I can't think of his name right now, notified the manufacturer, and which is a small, very small operation, and they discovered that Jim Jackson was correct. There was an improper trace installed on the board. And much to the manufacturers, he said they had sent out 40 of those boards with the defective trace. And Jim and Phil's friend was the only one who detected the problem, again, through Jim's help. And they corrected it, and the radio worked fine. Story number one. Story number two is Larry, who comes to coffee in the morning, has been working on a little radio. He wanted to receive just the time frequency. And he, again, worked on the printed circuit board, installed it according to directions, followed directions carefully, but it didn't work correctly. He finally discovered, last time I spoke with him, that they improperly marked the board where R8 should have been R10. They marked it incorrectly, and where R10 should have been R8, they marked it correctly. So there's still a possibility when you get these kits from these smaller manufacturers that you must check the board for correct wiring. You cannot assume that the board is correct. So I've heard of two printed circuit board problems in the last month. So be aware, guys. Back to net.
Okie dokie. Wasn't that a fascinating story? Well, I've seen wiring errors such as the ladder before. I haven't seen, well, actually, that's not true. In the early computer stuff, I would see, you know, these guys would throw together a circuit board, and they'd blow a trace, as it were. They'd throw a trace or blow a trace. And so, yeah, I guess I have seen that, but not in a really long time. Mislabeling, you know, position, that's more common, and, I'd buy that. You know, my kit, I think I told you about it. It was a stereo amplifier, and it was a circuit board that basically cloned each half of the circuit board, and then they ran some traces for things like power and such. And, you know, what I did with mine was, I mean, there's a connector on the back of the board with a coaxial power connector. And instead of doing that, I just ran a wire from a connector I put on the chassis to the underside of the board, and that worked very, very well. The only thing I'm having trouble with, and it's a little annoying, is the right channel, when I turn up the volume all the way, and it's, you know, it seems to distort a little bit, even without anything connected to the input. You just get this loud hum. And I'm trying to figure out where the hum's coming from, but here's the kicker. if I put something on the input and then turn it up quite loud but not quite all the way, I get none of that hum. So it must be something on the input circuitry that's just not quite right. Basically, I'm using a stereo socket, you know, stereo phono, eighth-inch phono socket is the input for ground and left and right channel, and I did verify that they have the same common between the two. And then the outputs are floating with respect to ground. So what I did there was I used a stereo jack, but only used the tip and the sleeve. I didn't use the ring. Is that right? Wait, whatever the base part is, whatever the ground part is, that's the sleeve. So that worked out well. And the speakers are the speakers I bought from Best Buy. They're house brand speakers, little bookshelf speakers. I bought a second set. I just used the supplied wires, which are just twin lead, small twin lead, to tie them together. We drop it. And then I, connectorized the one end, and the other end just uses spring clips on the back of the speaker. And plugged the power in, made a power cable, plugged that in, and did everything else like I was supposed to do. Ran a stereo eighth-inch cable between my computer and the amplifier, and man, what a beautiful sound. Our president today, when I was streaming a C-SPAN radio, never sounded so good. I'll leave it at that. Anyway, I was quite pleased with myself. And so it's in a box. It's in a plastic box with a metal front plate, which is a little disconcerting. But inside, I managed to put several of those ferrite, snap-on ferrite things on each of the leads. I ran the cables together. I ran all the other cables in parallel, input and output in parallel, and ran them through three of those snap-ons chokes right inside the box. And then I had two more that I looped through the ferrite for the power lead. I then transmitted with good and bad SWR on all sorts of frequencies while this thing was connected, with the wires hanging out all over the place, just like big antennas. No problems. And my antennas were right on top of my radios because they're literally right above my shack roof. So all was good. Now, that's not a final test. I mean, my ultimate goal is to put this amplifier in the car as a general purpose, you know, 20 watt per channel kind of amplifier. And I'm probably going to work on some mixing inputs, but that'll be the next thing. But all is good. I'm very, very pleased. Anybody have any similar reactions or ideas? I mean, this isn't a plastic box against my better judgment, but it's what I had, and I want to get it done. And I'm tired of looking at the project sitting on my desk. I didn't want to be like Charlie, hi. So, all better. I'm just kind of curious, does anybody have any comments that about this kind of thing? And also how I might want to create multiple input capability, and what kind of isolation I should put on each input.
Mr. JK.
Mr. Gott, go right ahead.
You mentioned the hum. I guess with your input not terminated, it might be the gain or something is a little higher there. It might be on that one side. What are the thought to the jack that you're using for the input? Is the sleeve connected to a ground someplace, or are you relying on the chassis ground? I know some of the kits I've built, they just sort of think, relied on the chassis ground. What I've done did in those cases, I'd drill a hole in the printed circuit board and I'd run a ground wire from the
the jack right into the ground plane of this printed circuit board. But they won't have any problems with the grounds that way.
Well, the power ground and the input ground are at the same potential, yes.
Okay, that's good. Don't want to mention that thought anyway. Yeah, might just be the fact that you got a little more gain through the one side than the other. For some reason, it's gaining up a little more.
Yeah, it's got four little heat sinks. You know, on the amplifiers, there's two per side, per channel. And so that was a bit of a challenge because I had to make the decision that I was actually going to put these things inside of a box. So today what I did was, just for grins, I did a basic test. I listened to the president and his congressional cronies touch at each other for like a half hour and just kept touching the box. And it was at a pretty loud volume, actually. And when the box didn't get materially warm, I was relieved and satisfied that all was good. So I kind of took that approach, because I know I discussed it with several hams, some of them where our frequency went, "You're going to put the heat sink inside the chassis? Is that a good idea?" And the answer was really no, but let's try it. Well, anyway, what about resistive mixing? Anybody have any thoughts? Well, don't anybody just jump on each other. Anyway, all right. Very good. Very, very good. Well, it works. I was pleased. I've got some other elements of the project ahead of me yet, but all is very, very good. And it's working out. So I guess our next topic would be, anybody have any more about kits and kit building and stuff like that? Then I want to go to Ben, and I think somebody else had a comment as well.
What was your question on resistive mixing?
Yeah, basically I wanted to have multiple inputs to this amplifier. I was looking for suggestions on how I might accomplish that.
Well, you're familiar with the classic resistive mixer using an inverting input, so you have a zero, you know, impedance point, and then have your, you know, input, source ratio, or should I say ratio resistors, however, whatever you want to call them. Although, even if you don't have a inverting input, zero input, you can do the same kind of trick. You just won't have any isolation between them.
No, so you're saying I have to use like a nominal gain stage between the two, between each input?
Yeah, try it without. You can make a passive mixer with a number of pots or whatever. You can give it a try.
What's kind of my question? What values should I have, you know, for in series and parallel, and what size pot should I have to attenuate, to set the level for each input, things like that. You know, does anybody have any good starting points?
I assume all the sources are low impedance sources.
We can make that assumption, yes.
And it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
Okay. So if I wanted four inputs, I started with, let's say, a bunch of 32-ohm type equivalent presence, that'd be fine. But then what I should do is I should put the pots in series with the hot lead coming into, let's say, a resistive pad.
Uh, don't know, maybe somebody else has a better idea, but I'd be tempted, you know, take, if you have two or three inputs, to have two or three 5K, ideally audio tapered pots, but feed them into the top of the pot. Take the wiper out. You'll have to put a build-up resistor so they don't short each other out when you go to the bottom, but have a build-up resistor from the wiper to a common point, which is the input of your amplifier.
Okay. And by a build-out resistor, you mean like something between the wiper and between the ground side of the pot and the actual ground, like something like put a nominal impedance in there. Yeah, I mean resistance in there.
No, the ground sides are all ground. Those are all in common. From the wiper, have a series build-up resistor so that between that and the common summing point, you'd have, say, a fairly large value, I don't know, like 10K, say, for instance. I assume the input of the amplifier is a fairly high impedance. Yeah, whatever, 10K. And to reduce the amount of interaction between the pots.
Okay. I think I could do that. I'm not quite picturing this right, but that's okay. I'll scratch something out into some notes and send them to you. I think I can do that. I don't have a really good drawing program, so worst case is you get a bunch of rectangles labeled as resistors, and we'll go from there. All right. This is useful. I got a couple of useful points out of this. So, anywho, hey, now I get, wow, my neighbor's power line is like lower yet. It's very exciting. Oh, man. Anyway, so, I'm just trying to think what else we might want to add to this conversation. Anybody else?
K2BAR, I've got nothing to add to it, but this is KC2PYB.
Hi, Richard. Welcome again to you as well. We'll add you to the list. This net has a... we have a scribe tonight. Mr. K2DSL is actually doing the logging because I'm mobile and had some problems originally with getting my computer to not lock up, but I've since solved that. Anyway, it looks like it's going to snow until basically the rains come, and then we'll have 40 days of rain or something. I don't know. Oh, good. I'm now stuck. Isn't that great? Anyway, I'll get out. Don't worry. Anyway, there we go. All right. So let's see. Who else... might want to jump in. Anybody else want to jump in on the net before we go to Ben's question?
KO2, okay. Just joining.
Good evening, Ben. It's comments on the list?
Sorry, just came in from calling. At this moment, nothing to add and no questions, but I'll listen in and see what you're talking about. Back to net. KO2, okay.
I'm sorry, I want to see what we're talking about, too. Well, welcome aboard. All righty. Mr. Ben, KF2ID, your comment or such, sir.
Okay, well, I raised a question a few weeks back. If you recall, that I was having trouble with the 7000, that VSWR was kicking off at relatively low power levels. That is the, I'm sorry, not the VSWR, but the transceiver was shutting itself down at very low power levels, even though the VSWR seemed to be okay, and I was going to a lot of head scratching and stuff, and calling up by ICON, and almost got to the point of sending it out when ICON said something, and maybe somebody else said something to me also. Well, there's RF getting into your mic. And since I hadn't changed anything, I didn't, as far as where I put the mic and stuff, I didn't think that would be the problem. And so then I started to take a good look at my layout here. And what I found was that I had actually put in a external hard disk, hard disk, I guess, for external computer memories, and it had a power supply, and I ran the power line across my mic. And I said, you know, that power line looks kind of long, and it's across my mic, maybe it's doing something. So I pulled that power line out, and sure enough, my problem just disappeared. just want to tell everybody what the answer to this problem was. I was just about to send the thing off to ICOM. I'm so sure it was an internal problem. And I, let me grab both of them.
So in the end, the problem was a too long a power lead?
The end, the problem was that a piece of wire, which is simply a 110-volt line, was running across my mic cable, and it was picking up the, as I analyzed, it must be picking up the RF from the antenna, or maybe from spray leakage or whatever, radiating into that line, and then radiating back into the mic cable, which I thought would be well insulated, and that's getting back into the 7000 and affecting the shutdown circuitry. And that was the problem. And it shows you got to watch how your layout of your equipment. It really had me puzzled because I thought of all kinds of other things were changing as I was moving the wires around. So I looked hunting for the problem. So I thought, oh, it's this or that. But it was just a simple wire, 110-volt line, you had to lay across the mic. My cable, and it picked up the RF and get it into the mic cable as best as I could see, and then radiated back into the 7000, and that was the problem. AF2ID was taken to the AR.
Yeah, Ben, was the mic cable, the mic cable was the stock mic cable, it wasn't, you didn't extend it or anything, doing anything funny like running one of those, Ethernet cable extensions on it, right?
A plain ordinary mic cable. It came with the Icon, you know, one of these self-coiling type things. It's a standard mic cable. It came with the standard mic with the Icon. And this 110-volt line, which just ran it across the desk because I had to get to the plug-in somewhere else. Just want to think of that to happen to lie across the table. And I didn't pay much attention to it. It didn't seem pretty innocuous. But it evidently must have picked up the RF, radiated back into the mic cable, and back into the 7000. And it did affect the shutdown circuitry.
Isn't that marvelous? Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. So station layout does matter. I had a very painful experience along that line where I had the antenna too close to a switching power supply, one of those nice expensive Elenco ones. Elenco? I think it was the Elenco. Yeah. And proceeded to fry it. And they're not a repairable device. In fact, because it's high voltage in it, the manufacturer specifically doesn't want to and doesn't want to authorize anybody to. Will not give out a circuit diagram for it because they don't want the liability of someone hurting themselves. Not ironic, given that we have high power amplifiers. But anyway. Alrighty. Anybody else on this topic? I'll just add one more thing, Ben, and that is that I have extended my factory microphone with an Ethernet cable and a adapter, and I've done it both in the truck and at home, and I've done it with 3-foot pieces or 2-foot pieces, and I've done it with like 20-foot pieces, and all seems to work. I'll tell you one thing. I've really listened to Bob Nagy's assessment of the microphone, and I've listened to a couple other examples of it from others. And I'm at this point inclined to set my microphone back for some nice work to be done by him. Takes about a few days to do it. If you send it on a Friday, you'll probably have it back the following Friday with a little luck. So it's something to think about. But anyway, he does a nice job. For those who don't know, there's a certain thinness in some, not all, but I would say most IC7000 microphones. I think whether or not it's objectionable or not is a function of your voice, but also of your patience. I mean, I get good audio reports, but I also have been spotted as having a 7000. So I think it's a matter of the criticality of someone's ear. So I think one of the things I may do going forward is fix that. There's some adjustments you can make in the radio, but they don't resolve everything. That's something to think about, too. I don't have the... If you look up NAGY and IC7000, you Google that, and you'll find them. Anyway, anybody have any comments about that?
Yeah, how's my voice sound? I haven't had anybody make any negative comments about my voice. I got a little bit of a evening's, I wouldn't say sore throat, but the hoarseness about my voice. But other than that, my voice sounds natural.
It does. It almost sounds like you might be hitting it a little hard, actually. But it's certainly not objectionable. And it's certainly not thin, which is... And I've heard I've heard the characteristic I'm talking about, and you don't seem to have it.
Comment B.
Any other questions, comments, confusions on the subject of microphones, IC7000, whatever, cable layouts, whatever?
NS2K.
There were two stations. I heard NS2K. Who's the other one?
Bennett.
Jim first and Bennett.
Well, we didn't speak this afternoon with me on the 7000. As that's in the car that, how should I say, I'm not taking out in the snow. But you have many times. I'm wondering if you have any comment about the quality of the audio from that radio.
No, but you have a rich voice, Jim, so you get away with a lot. It'd be my thought. If there is a deficiency in the radio, it begs the question as to how much better you would sound if you had adjusted that or addressed that. So that is something to consider. I mean, it's not something totally to dismiss, but I'm not so sure it's as shall we say noticeably critical. I hate to use the word critical, but you know what I'm saying. It's not as as perhaps urgent for your vocal qualities as others, but I can only imagine it would sound better because it's not one of these things where it makes you sound like you're, you know, a crazy contester. It really does fill out your voice without sounding like a broadcaster. It sounds more like a really smooth sounding DXer as opposed to, you know, one of these guys who sound like this. You know, the guys who chop their audio bandwidth down so all their power can be in 1500 hertz of usable audio.
Yeah, I thinned out the bottom somewhat, so it wasn't quite so boomy. But The only other thing I've done to the mic is added some weight to the back in such a way that it also damps the shell a little bit mechanically. But I'm almost thinking about sending the thing over to the guy to put the different capsule in the and the I think there were a couple of other there's capacitor or something that they were, he was adding as well.
Does his cartridge hit a weight? You have to ask him for the weight, and but he does it for free if you want it. And I think there is a capacitor. I mean, it's the whole audio mod thing he does. So sure, that's kind of the idea. So certainly something to consider, folks. And go from there, as they say. But anyway, I'm just thinking that it would be a really spiffy idea to do. I just have to decide when I can be without my radio. And I probably can't without too much trouble. Actually, someone told me that I can use a... you don't get all the functionality, but you can use a... Oh, is that right? Do I have it right now? Can you use a 706 microphone on a 7000, but you can't use a 7000 microphone on a 706? I think that's what it is.
You know, Bennett?
I about the sound of the 7000 mic, but I have used the optional, touch tone mic. That was an option on the 706. I've used that successfully on the 7000 while the head is attached to the radio on the 7000. If I remote it, I get some strange sound coming out of it that people have heard, and I've stopped using it. But the original microphone, no, I don't think they were compatible. The 7000 mic is supposed to be the 7000 mic.
Okay, so you have to use... you can use a 706 microphone. Pardon me, you can use a 7000 microphone on a 706. No, I got it right. You can use the 706 on a 7000 as long as the head's attached.
Well, that was my experience, at least with the touch tone mic, which was an option for the 706.
Yeah, I don't think I have the touch tone mic, but I could find out. Alrighty. Well, that's useful. So I'm going on a business trip next week, and I'm going to load up my 7000 in a power supply and probably a tuner. If I don't do that, I'm going to take my 703 and a battery and a power supply. We'll see. These are mysteries I always have to address. Grin. So, anywho, Jim, I think I read yesterday on Bob Nagy's site, $47 includes the return postage.
Yeah, I don't mind the $47. It's just, doing without the radio, that's all.
Yeah, I think we suffer from the same disease in this regard. Harry, so I'm sitting here measuring out my console for yet more things I might want to hang or place in it. Ah, dear me. It is really amazing as to how much stuff I try to build into my console. Anyway, that'll be a future subject of a future project. Alrighty, anything else from anybody?
Well, still a comment. KO2, okay?
Go ahead.
Okay. 7,000 odd audio characteristic is too much bass, and the kind of hollowness inside the mic, there's a big space and just kind of rattles around, I think, and you end up with a bonging sound to your voice, and kind of a bonging to any syllable that you talk into the mic, and it's especially evident on single sideband, where you could pick out the people and ask them, are you using a 7000? And inevitably they would say, yes, I am. How'd you know that? And it was because of that characteristic. the easiest way to get rid of that bunginess is to reduce the base drive, base level, excuse me, and that's easy with the menu controls. So on AB5N site, the Bob Nagy, I think it is, he changes the element, and he picks a capacitor to reduce the base. And a couple other things he does that Jim mentioned, like foam and weight and stuff like that. So I think, you know, people can't tell it comes out, and I think it's for the reason that I reduced the base drive. It's got a lot of bunginess to it if you leave the base at pretty middle or even middle levels is too high. It gives you that characteristic, which is a little bit strange, like a ringing bong as you talk. So that's my comment on that. Anyway, back to net. KO2, okay.
I'm sorry, I have to say it. We can't have any ringing bongs. But anyway, we're past that now. I just couldn't resist. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments about audio profiling or shaping, whether it's for 7000 or something else? Okay. Anybody had any similar adventures with another radio? Well then, okay. Then we are done with this topic. I believe we have an announcement. That announcement is from W2JEK. Go ahead, Mr. Don. I guess we're Donless. All right, there will be a test session in March. I believe it's the third Friday in March. It'll be at Westwood High School. Check the Barra website, please, barra.org, for confirmation of the date and time. But it's usually a Friday night, usually the third Friday. And it will, I believe it's at 7 p.m. Come with two forms of ID, or if you're upgrading, what do you call it? And make sure if you're upgrading a copy of your license and your original both, you have to surrender the copy, as well as your other form of ID. Something photographic is preferred, or two non-photographic, but government, you know, type IDs. $15 is the test fee. And there will also be a ham radio one-day crash course, review course, if you call it, on Friday, April 9th. It will take place in Bergenfield, in the usual church basement routine. Email w2tangotangotango@awrl.net if you're interested in that. There will be a breakfast and ham fest. Everybody gets breakfast. It's a beautiful thing. So, on April 10th, it's a Saturday, it'll be across the street in Bergenfield in the gym. Street level access, wheelchair access, walkers, whatever. There's a dining area for at least 100 at a time. Maybe probably about 150 or so at a time, actually. And in addition to 100 tables of HamFest space, all indoors, all in the same big facility, you get breakfast. If your tickets are bought before April 1st, you pay $5. There's $7 at the door. If you take a table, you'd have to look at it, the details, but if you take a table, you also get a breakfast ticket as part of your table. So that's that. There's also going to be an auction. If you want to auction your equipment through the day and you have bought a table, we do not charge for your auctioning. The other thing is there will be a Barra auction on March 7th, which is the first Sunday in March. It will be at Westwood High School. Doors open for the vendors at noon, and at 1 o'clock the auctioning will begin with the illustrious W2HP as the auctioneer. So we look forward to that as well. There will be no Barra meeting in the evening on March 7th, so do not go to the Red Cross on the evening of March 7th. Instead, go to Westwood High School on March 7th for the Barra auction. So, let's see, what else? Oh, just to go back to the other thing in Bergenfield. The reason it goes to support Venture Crew 7373 and to get them some
equipment that they're trying to do, and maybe even a trip to Newington. We're trying to get the kids interested in going to Newington. So we have a lot of amateur radio operators between Fairlawn, Ridgewood in particular, and Bergenfield that we've gotten licensed in recent year or two. And we want to get a trip going to take them up to Newington for a visit to the station, a visit to a tour of the headquarters, et cetera, et cetera. So trying to get that squared away. Let's see, what else? That's about it, I guess, for me. Let's see, any other announcements? Any other check-ins? Okay. Well, just a reminder, at 1070 is, on 1070, the Bergen Skywarn net is at 10 o'clock, which is coming up on right now, so I'm going to be a bit brusque and remind everybody that if you have a snow measurement, please go do that and go from there. Alrighty. So, if anybody has any further questions, comments, confusions, we'll take them. If not, we'll secure. What's the date of the test session? I made the announcement. I said it was the third Friday. Is that right?
That's correct. It's March 19th. I was over at the computer. You'll need a social security number, too. That's the one thing you forgot if you're going for tech. Otherwise, you use the FRN number on your license. And for Charlie, I got the email from Charlie, and I'll go down the cellar and see what I can find and get back to him about his capacitors. With that, back to that, W2JEK.
You want to forward it to a couple of us, we'll see what we can do. He'll end up with more than he needs, but that's awesome. All right, everybody, just remember, Bergen Skywarn session is at 10. There'll probably be another one at 1 a.m., oddly enough. I volunteered to do that for George. And so if someone's out there staying up late tonight, what the heck? So anyway, I want to thank everybody for the hospitality. And I will be in the market for some small pots, small audio taper pots, in the not too distant future, probably in the 5 to 10K range, grin, grin. Anyway, 7-3 everybody, and have a good evening. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. Encourage everybody to support Chestnut Ridge Radio Club and the repeater, and also the Bergen County FM Association, who supports us on 146.79 and 444.100 with their use of their repeaters. If you find organizations, we should support them. Anyway, thank you very much, and have a great night. This is K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo securing and saying 7-3. Thank you very much.
2ID, KF2ID, this is K2AMI calling.
K2ZC disconnected. K2ZC disconnected.
Good evening all. KO2 OK.
KO2 OK, K2AMI.
Hi Tony, good evening. How you doing?
I'm having trouble getting into the 444-100, which should be the 440 machine at the Pines there. Do you have capability to check that?
Just keyed it up.
Yep, okay. Okay, thank you.
You want to meet there? I'll try with you.
Well, it's got, let me just review, it's got a 141.3 PL, and is the shift plus 500, is that correct?
Plus 5 meg.
5 meg, okay. I don't know how to set 5 meg, but I'll try. my handy talkie has not been able to key it. I probably have the wrong shift. What is the secondary, if it's 444-100, what should be the other frequency?
449-100.
Hey, I am reading that, and I guess I have the right shift. I just take a shot. I'll meet you over there. If not, come back here.
Okay. Well, I can call right from now, and I can hear you on both radios, so I'll meet you there. KO2 OK.
KO2 OK, KO2 OK, K2 AMI here on 955. I do copy you.
but I can't seem to get in.
Okay. How about 443?
I'm running 5 watts with a handy talkie antenna. I don't think I can make 443.
Can't remember which one's where. Is in 444, Mike?
44 is Paramus.
Okay, I get the mix up.
43 is Franklin Lakes. And again, I've got 444.100, and I got a flush shift, and I got a 141.3 tone, and it just does not seem to want to go.
Are you reading 449.100 on your display when you're transmitting?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I can't explain it then. Once you go outside, maybe. Are you trying to key it up?
I just tried to key it up then. Let me try it again. Listen again and see if anything comes through. I'm going to key it right now.
Well, you keyed it last time, yeah. I hear you keying it, but no audio. It's too weak.
Probably got inadequate power, but 5 watts should do it.
Do you have a 440 antenna on your roof?
I'm not running a roof antenna at the moment. I'm running just a handy talkie.
Do you have a roof antenna?
I have another radio with a roof antenna, yeah.
Well, if you're checking that radio, just, you know, connect the antenna to the walkie-talkie.
Do you have a few moments to spare? Can I run downstairs and try that?
I have a couple minutes.
Stand by.
Okay, listening here and on 444.1.
Thank you.